Today on Real Life Radio.
I can't believe in God. There's so much evil in the world. I could come back to you and say, I have to believe in God because there's so much good in the world. Friend, is it all evil? No. It just feels like it. There's a whole lot of good out there. Where does the good come from?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man. As Christians, we all know that truthful answers are hard to come by these days, if indeed you're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. But we can never know what's right about us unless we first know the nature of the God who made us. So, what is it to be human? To answer that question, the Why series now shifts to the deep personal awareness issues of the mind, of mental illness, of emotional trauma, and spiritual distress. As human beings, we indeed have a complex nature. Our very existence is unlike any other. But there's a battle going on for our spirit, our soul, and body, over which we need to gain the victory. So today in this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the human mind was given to us by God to direct our thoughts and drive our emotions. But we live in a fallen world, so when things go terribly wrong, God, through His Word, is the only one who can heal us and give us hope. And now in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Mark these verses down if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Friends, listen, I need all of you tonight to participate. I need you to commit this verse, even if it's just the reference to some piece of paper, in the maybe the margin of your Bible, or write it on your hand in ink or something. I'm not kidding. Go ahead and do it. And by the way, as I'm giving you these verses, I'm very keenly cautious and aware of something. Regarding the topic and how sensitive it is regarding the human mind, I do not want to say to you, just read your Bible. Well, do I want you to read your Bible? Of course I want you to read your Bible. But I'm not going to say, oh, just read your Bible. You have a problem? Read your Bible. You have an issue? Read your Bible. I understand, but listen, I want to say to you tonight that it is my prayer that as we go through this series, that there'll be a verse or something that you might just write down, and it may not get you, but it might get you next week. It may not get you now, but it might get you in 3 weeks. You might pick it up someday. I don't know if it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, and you'll come across the verse, and it's going to snap, and the light's going to come on, and you will experience the power of His Word that is supernatural, that will invade your mind and win you over. And then finally, in the introduction is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where there the Bible tells us, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils," wow, "the breath of life. And man," that is Adam, "became a living soul," or a living being. Isn't it amazing that man had been formed and his physics were completely intact? His physique was there. Man was laying in the dust, or I should say, upon the dust, having been made out of dust. Man is laying there, but he didn't have life until God breathed into him the breath of life. Listen, I don't want to get weird, but listen, that man was laying in the dirt, being made out of dirt. And in some way, I'm exaggerating right now, intentionally. Are you watching? Are you with me? At some point, perhaps if we take it literally, God leaned over in such a way that he breathed into Adam's nostrils. The Bible says, like CPR, God breathed into Adam and his lungs then would have filled up. His heart would have started beating. There was no life in that clay until God put it in. Please mark this down. In that moment, there was the consciousness of man imparted once and for all, and for the first time. His apparatus was not only breathing and blood pumping, But he had a consciousness. What do you mean? He had a soul in that moment. He became a living what? Became a living being. Some of your translations say a living soul. What does that mean? We're going to be looking at that. By the way, church, we cannot know anything aright or correctly about ourselves unless we first begin to know what we can about the nature of God. God is from where we came from. Do you understand that? So, no, we came from earth. Yeah, God made us. Listen, our origin is in God as humans. So it would be normal for you tonight to ask, but wait, does God exist? That's a good question. Does God exist? How can I know if God exists? What is he like? Might be a question. Some people struggle over this. I get it. If Jack, you want to tell me that God exists and that God breathed life into us and our consciousness, which is a mystery, still tonight, science cannot tell us why man is a self-aware, conscious being. It's a mystery. Where is it? Where is our consciousness? We know that it's not lodged in any recess or area of the brain. The brain is a tool that consciousness uses. Let that sit for a minute. That ought to freak you out. Kind of like an electrical wire. Does the electricity go inside of the wire or on top of the wire? Does it dance across the wire or does it flow through the wire? Is one of the great challenges of the early science community is how does electricity actually go down the wire? Well, this is a big stumper. Regarding man's consciousness, his soul, the solality of man, where is that? There's no fatty little tissue. There's not something behind the spleen. It's not somewhere in the brain. It's not between the skull. I'll submit to you tonight that it's the hand of God in the creation of man. I'm going somewhere with this regarding your mind. We want to lay the foundation because the one that gave you your mind is the only one who can actually heal your mind. And I know I'm going to be treading on some sensitive areas. I want to make this very clear. Our culture, I'm going to get in trouble either way. When our culture decided to go the distance without God, we lost a great ability. We lost the ability to look into and to work with man's totality, mankind. When I say man, ladies, I'm talking about mankind. I'm not being macho, gender insensitive here. I'm talking about mankind. When we said, no, we're going to focus on this area of man. Listen, we're going to focus on his psychology. You cannot accurately help someone if that's where you stop your treatment is psychology. Listen, man is a body, soul, and spirit, says the Bible. If the end all is psychology, then you are denying the existence of the spirit of the man. In other words, man can only be healed so far if you limit yourself to a man or mankind being body and soul. Soul, the word soul comes from the Greek psuche, where we get the word psychology, the words of the soul or the words of the mind or the study of the mind. God says you are a body, soul, and spirit. Number one, body, it's material, obviously. Soul, immaterial. Spirit, immaterial, even more so. But you and I live life focusing on the material and somewhat on the immaterial soul or mind. But when someone's going to treat you regarding this area and they leave out the spirit, they can only heal you so far. Do you understand that? Our culture today leans on psychology as though it is the ivory tower shrine of the healing of man. Not so. Unless psychology, and by the way, don't fault me for this. I'm going to Christians, Christian leaders, pastors, ministry, Christians should pay some good attention to psychology in the context of the Bible being the standard judge of psychology. To say, oh, we don't get involved in psychology is to say we don't get involved in how the working of the mind is. That's dumb. What we want to be careful about is understanding psychobabble is nuts. That psychology being the end all is nuts. Man is much more than that. Do keep that in mind. And so as we look at this, you're going to be challenged with, and I would think, if you're new to this, the working of the mind, you're asking me to look to God to heal my mind. You're asking me to believe in God. How do I even begin, Pastor, as I'm listening tonight or driving right now or whatever I'm at, whenever you do hear this, when there's so much evil in the world? And I understand that. How can you expect me to believe in a God of love when there's so much hate in the world? I get that. Just will you consider this for a moment? Our minds, because of what is called in the Bible the fall of mankind, the fall of man, man's sinful nature, our minds don't work right. In fact, you know what? Here's the amazing thing. The person listening right now who says, well, speak for yourself. My mind works perfectly fine. You are actually the most messed up person in the room. No, I'm serious. If you think that, everybody's messed up but me, you are the most messed up one. Isn't it funny? More on that in a moment, but here's the deal. You can't know if evil exists. It's impossible for you to make that judgment. You can't make a judgment call that evil exists unless you know what's good. I can't believe in God. There's so much evil in the world. I could come back to you and say, I have to believe in God because there's so much good in the world. Friend, is it all evil? No, it just feels like it. There's a whole lot of good out there. Where does the good come from? How is it that we, you and I, in our minds know intuitively, it's implanted within us, I submit that it's the consciousness given to us by God, that from the earliest beginnings, no matter where you're at in any culture in the universe throughout human history, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. The Bible says that God has written that law upon the human heart. Remember that. So tonight we just scratch the surface with this, if you would write it down, the human mind. What is it to be human? What is it to be human? What does that mean? Keep this in mind. Mark it down if you would. We are unrivaled in the universe as a human. Just think. When you look at all of what the universe contains, we are unrivaled in complexity as a human being. Listen to this. What goes on in your mind is absolutely more technical and more advanced than the orbital mechanics of astrophysics of the entire universes that are out there. You're more complex. That's a mathematical fact that is a religious statement. Do you understand that? It's a religion. Forget religion. Get it out of it. It's a scientific fact that the human mind is still today more unexplored and knowable than our known universe. We are mysteries housed within ourselves. Why? Because I submit to you tonight that the God who can heal us all is the God that made us, and by his creative powers, you are as amazing as you are. It's just that you and I have been beaten down by all kinds of thoughts and feelings and things to realize or to think that we are somehow misfitted junks. And God not only doesn't want anything to do with this, but that maybe he even made me to be a mistake. And that is just absolutely false. He made you intentionally. He made you with purpose. And listen, yes, we understand how messed up and fallen we are because the Bible tells us we've been brought into a fallen world. But church family, listen up. It will not always be this way. There is actual redemption fully coming. There is resurrection. There is eternity. There is a heaven that God has for us. And it is the absolute full restoration of all things. God will take us back, as it were, before Adam's fall. And the mind of who you're going to be will be a mind, the Bible says, like Christ. Wow. God is going to be doing an amazing thing. The Bible tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, a verse that you've known before, it says that now may the God of all peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made you and I a little miniature trinity, body, soul, and spirit. But you are, according to the Bible, Psalm 138 and 139, that declares to us, and I paraphrase, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When we talk about the body, obviously, the material side of who you and I are and how we relate to one another, the physical existence of who we are. By the way, listen, this is kind of a shocker. We put so much emphasis on the body. But, you know, our bodies were given to us by God to be the vehicle by which we express the soul and the spirit of who we are. We lean so heavily on the physical part, but it's the soul and the spirit part that the body, listen, it's the body is animated by the soul and spirit part. Your body is not who you are. It's what you use to express who you are. But without God, we focus on the body and we neglect the other. You say, well, what is the soul? As I said, it's the mind. It's that immaterial part of us. But it is the thinking. It is the thought processes of who we are, the mind. The Bible tells us that God wants to renew our minds. Did you know that? We'll get to that scripture in the future. God says in the Bible, I want to renew your mind. By the way, he gives the prescription for that. There's one prescription for the renewing of your mind. It's the Word of God, the Bible. It's amazing. You say, I don't believe it. Just stay with us for a few weeks. And then the spirit of who you are, this is an amazing thing because before you're born again, you're spiritually dead. Before you're born again, you're spiritually dead. You're living, you're eating, you're doing life, but you don't know you're dead. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? What do we think the answer to that is? Nobody can know the mind of the Lord. What's interesting, listen, that verse goes on to say, but we have the mind of Christ. Look at it with me, everybody. What on earth can this possibly mean? For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? That question demands an absolute, no one knows the mind of the Lord. No one. You can't know his mind. He only allows you and I to know what he reveals to us. And what he has revealed to us is in the, listen, hard copy of his mind and what he's wanted to be revealed to us. That's it. We're going to learn more about God in eternity forever. But thank God and thanks be to God, this word here, the Bible, will not contradict, nor will eternity contradict this word of what is eternity, what is his nature. Guys, can you put that back up on the screen for a second? Look at this. But we have the mind of Christ. Can you just look at that for a moment? Is that amazing? What does it mean? It means this. No one can know the mind of the Lord. But we have, listen, follow it, but we have access. It's access to the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the will of God. Again, what is it? It's the Word. It's the Word of God. The mind is the area where you create your morality. You create your morality. Now, you have the natural law given to you by God. There is a fundamental reality, morality that you and I have. But then we add to that or we diminish from it. by our mind. What do you allow in your mind? You were given a morality that says, for example, it's wrong to do thus and so, whatever it is. Yet you violate that conviction in your mind, and you do that thing, and you know you're doing the wrong thing. Inside, you know it's wrong. You do it, but the more you do it, whatever it is, the less sting is in your mind, isn't it? It doesn't sting so bad. And if you keep doing it, if all of a sudden you're not even feeling bad about it anymore. What has happened? You have conditioned your mind and you have changed your reality. You have divorced yourself from the conviction of God, and you are going now with your own conviction on how you're going to do this. And so this is where you get this statement from people that they'll say something like, well, you know what? That's your truth. And you just do your truth. I'll do my truth, you do your truth. It comes from this humanistic philosophy of you create your morality. And it's very dangerous because what you allow is what you wind up becoming like. In other words, the gods that you worship, so to speak, those gods will certainly endorse and allow what you want to do. You'll surround yourself with the gods that allow you to do what you want to do. So be careful with this. C.S. Lewis writes, "We must learn by experience to avoid either trains of thought or social situations which for us, not necessarily for everyone, lead to temptations, like motoring, driving a car in England. Don't wait to the last moment before you put on the brakes, but put them on gently and quietly while the danger is still a good way off." You hear that? That's exercising a morality and a discernment that is wise, that is rightly using the mind. Some people's minds cannot work this way. It's not that it could not. It's that they allowed their minds to be changed or coerced or convinced, and they have no judgment. They have no understanding. They have no, they've departed, so to speak. That train left the station in their thinking. And you wonder, how do people become serial killers? How do people become so cold and callous? Because they didn't put the brakes on ahead of time. They kept crashing into the wall, as it were, until they didn't feel it anymore. Jesus Christ came into this world in flesh, in skin, because that's not what God is. It's what you are.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of God, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 1, is part of a series by Pastor Jack called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life that God has placed in our hearts so we can logically reason together while looking to Him for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, in light of recent events, and with all the unrest that's happening in Israel and her surrounding nations, be inspired and encouraged through the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference. It's hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs, and we're excited to offer it through our exclusive live stream pass. Watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th. This amazing event also includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers, all for just $5. We also have a special opportunity available for churches to host the conference. So join us, would you? To get your streaming pass or to find a church nearby that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website for the event at beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.